You are listening to Kilometer Zero by the Cycling Podcast, powered by Super Sapiens, energy management for committed athletes and coaches.
Here we have it, the first stage of the Tour de France.
Today was, I think, a little bit the definition of a hectic day.
Every team has his victims.
Not every job is a dream, even when you're living your dream here, which is the irony of it all.
Carrying on a cycling podcast tradition at this year's Tour de France, we have four riders keeping an audio diary for us. They're recording bits and pieces most nights, or mornings indeed, and sending them to us, and we really appreciate their insights into their races and their team's races. We'll hear in this episode from Tim de Klerk of De Koninck Quickstep, Connor Swift of Arkea Samsic returning for a second year, Victor Campenaerts of Quebeca Nexhash making his Tour de France debut, surprisingly, and we'll hear all about his thoughts ahead of his first ever start at the Tour de France later on. We'll also hear from Ben O'Connor, another debutant, the Australian climber who rides for AG2R Citroën. In this episode, we'll also hear some clips from commentary, adding a bit of atmosphere and flavour to the episode, and we say a big thanks to Eurosport GCN for those. But without further ado, let's cross over to our diaries.
Hey everyone, it's Ben O'Connor here, starting my diary entry for the cycling podcast for the Tour de France. I guess this is part zero because I'm not actually there yet. I thought maybe I'd just speak about how the weeks going into the Tour de France have been, and actually how kind of strangely normal it feels. I was lucky enough to see my parents through some circumstances. They were able to come here from Australia, and actually the last week has been not so stressful, more or less, because of having them around and you're doing your training and then you see them and you show them where I live here in Andorra. So it's been actually a beautiful time to prepare for the Tour de France. It's funny, you think it's all quite simple and strict, but you just have to be not under too much stress before you go there, because I think the stress will get you once you're actually at the race. And as I said about things not always going to plan, I actually had a little like tumble the other day. I was riding with my mate Tristan, just relaxing, nothing silly, doing about 15 k's an hour around a hairpin, and then must have hit some oil, went down, hit my hand, was worried, got an x-ray and to check it all, and you know, you panic a little bit, but it's all good. Just shows that not everything can go to plan, even when you're actually not taking any risks or being silly. It's one of those things about bike riding, isn't it? I can't wait to get to Brest tonight, and then for tomorrow to have the atmosphere and the feel of being there with Asia Desercy Twin. And I think it's going to be exciting with how the first 2 days are going to be, because as viewers, it's going to be amazing to watch. But for us, it's going to be two very stressful start days, especially for the GC guys. And hopefully for me, I can stay out of trouble and do your best and get through as best as you can. Actually, I think we have a really good chance of, you know, trying for the yellow jersey too with Benoît Costefroy. For the first 2 days, he's aimed for that for the whole year. I mean, that would be an absolute dream to piece together, I guess, a moment like that, which is really motivating, actually. It makes you want to be part of the race even more when you think you have a guy that could actually have a great chance in the first 2 days.
Hello, guys. My name is Tim de Klerk. I'm a rider for De Koninck Quickstep. I'll be answering some of your questions and doing a diary for the cycling podcast. One of the questions that I saw here was how the team have to adapt that now that Mark Cavendish come to the team as the main sprinter instead of Sam. I think that for us it doesn't change too much. We can be really lucky that in a team like ours, we have such a great guy that can fall in for the place of Sam, with an incredible history and who again found his greatest form. And it would be really a fairy tale if he could win the stage here. So we're going to give it all our best. For me, in particular, it doesn't change too much, but I think for the whole team also not. We still have the goal to go for the stage wins with Julian and go also for the stage wins in the sprint. But before it was for Sam, but now we go for Kav. Yeah, I think it will be quite a difference also this year. How he can live the tour. Like last year was everything was really, really strict. And I think now it will still be strict, like in the team itself. Nothing has changed. We still live in the bubble where nobody is allowed, also no girlfriends or family. It's gonna hurt a little bit to miss my wife and daughter for 4 weeks, but once the race gets going, we don't have too much time to think about that. But it will for sure make a difference that I think there will be public allowed, and I think it gives a greater depth to the emotions we feel. So I look forward to that. I don't know if there's going to be a lot of people or just more than last year, but for sure on some riders also this will have an impact. Like for example Julian, all the people cheering for him, I know he can always give a little bit more than. So yeah, let's see how things pan out. I'm really excited for the start. We did the final preparation on the rollers this morning, where I did some small efforts to get the engine going, because tomorrow it will be important. We are on it already from the first day.
Hey, my name is Victor Kampenaerts. I'm a rider for Quebeca Next Hash. It's my second year I'm riding for the team. I'm a world tour record holder, and now I try to ride aggressive, a classic rider. And by that comes that I also ride my first Tour de France. A lot of riders are surprised that I do my first Tour de France. And indeed, it's my 8th year as a professional rider. In my first Tour de France, I did 5 Giros. I did 2 Vueltas. And now only my first Tour de France. This is the result of the fact that in the Giro there were also always more time trials. Of course, I'm excited to do now the first Tour de France in my life. It's the biggest cycling event there is, of course, after the Tour of Flanders. Just a joke. And it's not like, I know some guys, they don't feel a cyclist if they didn't participate in Tour de France. It's not like that for me. But of course, I'm excited to start, and you can feel already the atmosphere, how big the event is and how important it is. My knee is not at all a problem anymore. We never took any risks at no point, and this paid off. My goals in the Tour de France, we hope to achieve the same atmosphere as we achieved in the Giro. This was great. It was fun to race like this. And this also gave us results. We are here with riders for successes in stages. We don't aim a GC. This will give less stress and hopefully good results. Cheers.
Connor Swift, Arkea Samsic.
Morning. Here we have it, the first stage of the Tour de France. So obviously my team's based in Brittany, the heartland of French cycling, the Yorkshire of France. Obviously being on this team at the first stage of the tour, where it's setting off from here, and this is where the team's based, it's absolutely massive. The first 4 days are going to be huge for the team, and obviously they want to put on a show for all the fans, and obviously for the sponsors too, which are based here. There's a bit of pressure around first day today, and just super excited to get going and have a super good 3 weeks with the team.
Starting to get a little bit narrow. Crash behind
Jumbo-Visma, and I think that has been mass crash. Leaders down riders everywhere, and this is chaos. This is exactly what we didn't want on the opening day of the Tour de France. An absolute disaster.
Ben O'Connor, AG2R Citroen.
Hey everyone, as you would have seen, today was madness. Two of the biggest crashes I've seen in a bike race, and sadly I actually personally went to a little hospital, had my bones x-rayed and had some stitches put into my arm. It's actually funny, I guess it would be a thing for people to know, is there's the Tour de France set up a little x-ray truck and medical center just in case stuff like this happens, which I guess is somewhat often. I actually don't personally feel too disappointed because I finished still okay and nothing's broken, so I came to the Tour knowing that I could finish with the top guys, and I see Jack Haig finish fourth today, and I think always to myself, oh, that could have been me, or that should have been me. But I guess it's the good thing about a Grand Tour. There's always 2-3 weeks to go. Tomorrow we have Moto Britannia, so probably be similar today. It's a shame, once again, I know maybe I'm banging on about the disappointment, but the crowds in the finale were amazing to hear and to feel. And yeah, I feel like I lost a great opportunity, you know, going up this hill on your first Tour de France and fighting it out and thinking that you can be up there with the top guys, with everyone screaming and shouting. I guess it's something that we've missed for a long time, and it's great to have spectators on the road, but in the same time, it was such a shame that it was the spectator that actually ruined a lot of people's races.
Victor Campenaerts, Quebec, on Next Hash.
Whoa, that was a stressful day. So this is the Tour de France. I tried quite hard, with a lot of support of Max, to get in the breakaway. When I took the first mountain points, only one point was available there, a fourth category climb. I was quite cooked afterwards. I didn't manage to get in the break, and then it was very, very stressful. Damn. Crashes happen where in other races nothing would happen. Two times I was right in the middle, but only in the second time my bike was hurt a little bit, but I'm not hurt. The whole team got quite safe through the day. Stressful start.
France has its hero back, and Julien Alaphilippe proving once again that yellow is his favourite colour of the rainbow. The world champion wins stage one of the Tour de France. So much action.
Hi, Richard. Yeah, it was an amazing feeling, really, to watch Julien win.
Tim de Klerk, the Koenig Quickstep.
It was really an amazing feeling that that gave me goosebumps. Yeah, it was worth all the work. It was when I look at my TSS of today, was already a big classic. The stage of today, too bad there are still 20 more to come, and also too bad for the two big crashes. The first one, I had absolutely no idea it had happened. The crowds are so cheering so loud, you don't hear anything. My radio didn't work properly. I didn't hear the radio. It was only when we started. Julien's not here. We looked back and we saw we were only with 40 guys or something. It's really difficult on a moment like that to take decisions. You are in the race. You are in race mode. If he had known that it was caused by somebody who on the side of the road, we would for sure have stopped. But it's important to keep in mind that in the race we have sometimes zero information, and also the car has zero information. But yeah, I just hope that that everybody of both crashes is okay. It's always hectic, a block, like we say in Belgium, the first stage of the Tour. But this time it was really, really a mess. And that's why we wanted to be there with the team and on the first line. But of course, you never hope that that other guys are going to crash. For sure, not so badly like it was now.
You are listening to Kilometer Zero by the Cycling Podcast, powered by Super Sapiens, energy management for committed athletes and coaches. Go to supersapiens.com for more on how to track your energy levels and fuel for success.
For me, getting involved in sport was something that I'd always done throughout school. I mean, if you told me I couldn't, I'd show you, I would say, watch me. Getting to grips with diabetes and getting to grips with how that would impact what I did daily. Honestly, diabetes wasn't seen as the challenging factor, you know, because I wanted to win, and no matter what, that's what I wanted to do. And I think it's Steve Redgrave has got a really good quote, and it's, I want diabetes to live with me, not live with it. Growing up through teenage years, you know, I was heavily involved in football. I also was a runner. I always had sport in my blood. You know, my parents were cycling. My dad was a GB age grouper in triathlon. So that's kind of where I got more heavily involved in the endurance side of sport. I just had to learn how to make that fit in with me. We kind of put in steps in place to allow me to do what I wanted to do. Those steps as a teenager were the building blocks to allow me to become what I am now. And that's me, Sam Brand, a professional cyclist with Team Novo Nordisk.
And it looks like nobody else is involved here, and Van der Poel goes again. Oh, look at this. Oh, amazing. The van driver is going for it. 6.9.
Connor Swift.
Two stages of the tour done, and yeah, it's gone pretty well so far. I mean, I'm enjoying it compared to last year when, you know, the spectators were really limited and they wasn't really allowed to be at the side of the road. To see so many people out at the side of the road this year, it really gives me a sense of, you know, feeling for what a normal Tour de France is like, you know, and how huge it actually is for all these fans and French fans and people across the world. It's absolutely massive. I mean, you kind of get carried away going through the race because you're like, you look at the crowds when you go through the villages and stuff, and it's absolutely lined, massive roars, and you kind of forget about it. And then it's not until you're on a bit of a quieter road or like out of a village or a town, and you know there's less fans at the side of the road, and all of a sudden it seems like it's a bit quiet because there's no one cheering and stuff like that. So it's only in those moments you kind of realise, bloody hell, there was a lot of people back there. Day one, breakaway. You know, that's the way to start a Grand Tour, isn't it? Go up the road day one, waste some pennies. No, but no, it was good. You know, the team's objective. We're a Breton team. We're starting in Brittany, and they wanted someone present on the first day in the breakaway, and you know, to try and go for the KOM points. But yeah, absolutely. You know, loved it out front. It was short lived. You know, the breakaway came back pretty soon, and yeah, back in the bunch, and then it was pretty nervous. I was quite happy that I was out front for 130k because as soon as I was back in the bunch, bang, crashes left, right and centre. It was a crazy finish to the stage, and you know, everyone was super nervous, and yeah, luckily I stayed upright. A couple of my teammates came down, and Clement Russo in particular, he fractured one of his ribs, so he carried on the stage yesterday, and he's all right, and the other guys are okay. So I think we came out of that pretty lightly compared to a few other teams. And then yeah, yesterday it was a, you know, tough day. Finished up the Mer, and yeah, that's not an easy climb, you know. Quintana gave it a bit of a bash in the final, and that's super nice to see. I think he's feeling pretty confident, and yeah, I'd say he's got good legs. And I reckon when we approach the mountain stages, you know, him trying to search for a stage win's definitely possible. And yeah, we'll have to see how things pan out.
Victor Campenaerts.
Today we had Simon in the break. Was a good shot for the possibility for the mountain jersey, because these fights was still open for today. Unfortunately, Simon crashed out of the breakaway. It was hectic. but luckily a little bit less hectic than yesterday. There were also less crashes. But of course, everybody trained well and everybody's in a good shape. The pace is not easy. And what we saw today of Van der Poel is, this is what makes cycling exciting. This is what makes Van der Poel exciting. But he also gives an unexpected plot to the race, and that's, I really like this about him. And the crowds is quite incredible. The crowds are just everywhere, and every hill is full of crowds, and yeah, it's amazing. I cannot imagine what a tour without COVID would be like. When you're in a conversation and you pass a village, you just have to pause the conversation because you just cannot understand each other anymore because of the crowd going crazy.
Ben O'Connor.
Stage 2 of the Tour de France. Not everything can always go to plan. The crash had an effect on a lot of guys, and I for sure was one of them, struggling a little bit yesterday compared to how I hoped I would be. I mean, when I got back into the bus, obviously everyone was checking and you could see it. People were in pain. So I hope you take clothes off and get you in a shower. And then the same thing happens yesterday. Some of the guys felt bad, like Benoit really wasn't having a good day. He was a bit down because he'd been aiming for this since the start of the year, or since probably last year. So it's now an interesting perspective for how you take on the race. Do you continue to try and minimize how much you lose every day? And then by the second and third week, you know, do a bit of a resurgence? Or do you forget completely, reduce all risks completely, like for example today in the sprint finish, and then you aim solely for breakaways and stage wins later in the weeks? Our team aim was to win stages, but at the same time there was obviously hope that we could do, like in Romandy and Dauphiné, a top 10. So it brings up a couple of different options, and you have these flat stages which look simple on paper, but you look at the weather, it will rain, you look at the actual, the finish, and we have a 5k descent before the finish line, so it's harder than it looks on paper. I guess that's the Tour de France and the Grand Tour, there's all these, as I would say, hidden gems.
Another big crash behind. Oh my word, Pogacar is caught up in this one. Riders down from Quebec and Extash. Riders all over the place, I'm afraid. And this is an absolute disaster for the umpteenth time in 3 days.
It's Connor Swift, Arkea Samsic.
Another crazy stage. Yeah, I'd say things kind of kicked off the crazy bit of the stage when G hit the deck, you know, with like 144k to go. We was riding by the coastline there, and yeah, just to see him on the ground, just, yeah, middle of the stage, it was just, well, it just puts everyone, you know, back into that nervous bit of racing mode, and yeah, that wasn't nice to see, and obviously I hope he's all good there. And then, yeah, going into the final few K, obviously there was a massive crash. We was on tight, narrow roads, and yeah, big old crash there with, I don't know, 10k to go or so. And then the same thing again with 5k to go. Yeah, it's not great and it's not nice. And then obviously again on the last corner with Ewan and Sagan, it's awful to see. And after riding the Tour last year, I can't think it was this, you know, this nervous, but I think the weather doesn't help. And then obviously, just the amount of pressure that teams have. You know, there's a lot of people here that have kind of wrote off the GC plans, and I'd say there is a lot of sprinters here, and then obviously the GC teams, and everyone just wants to be at the front, and there's not enough road for that. And with 184 riders, it's a big peloton, and yeah, you know, crashes, well, they're going to happen, especially on roads like that. I mean, imagine if the final today was on wet roads. I think it'd have been even worse. We had Barguil crash, and also Dan McLeay. Them two have lost a bit of skin, and it's the second crash that they've had this tour, and it's not nice to see. And hopefully them two are both okay in the morning. Nairo stayed in that front group, luckily, and then Nasser finished the stage in third, which is obviously nice for us, and yeah, it's good going ahead into the future sprint stages that he finished third today, and you know, yeah, well, we're trying to find that stage win.
Ben O'Connor, AG2R Citroen.
Yeah, so today was horrible. I mean, I think if we have the context of what this race is on day three, for a finish like that and bumpy, I guess, British B roads, French Breton roads with a 5K downhill to the sprint finish before the 3K sign. Yeah, you're just asking for trouble, and that's what the madness is, and that's what creates all this nervousness, and that's why everyone's so put together so early in the race, because we all know what's going to happen later in the race. You saw Primoz go down, and then you saw the big crash on the high-speed corner just before the 3K point. But it's really dangerous for us, and it's not fun for spectators, and it's not fun for us either. So, yeah, it leaves a bit of a sour taste, because I didn't enjoy today, sadly. But, yes, it's the Tour de France sometimes, and you can't enjoy everything. Not every job is a is a dream, even when you're living your dream here, which is the irony of it all. I just think there could be a better method for how days like this in its context are designed, because this was always going to happen, and yeah, some people are going to feel the consequences of it. I have no experience in the Tour de France, so it's hard for me to say, but it's just, it's not often do you see stuff like this so often in such a big way, hey?
Tim de Klerk, the Koenig Quickstep.
Yeah, today was, I think, a little bit the definition of a hectic day. I didn't really have to pull today. We were going for a sprint with Mark. But yeah, to be honest, I felt also a little bit tired of the previous days. So I was happy I could stay a little bit in the wheels. Then when the stress came, we had to hold position and try to do both things at once. So to keep Mark in a good position and to keep Julian. And then for that, you need to be there as a team, because nowadays, because there's so much stress, the road is always blocked, and you need to be there as a team, just to ride on the front line. And probably it looks silly on TV, but you're like pushing 400 watts the whole time just to keep the team in a good position. We knew from before that it was going to be a crazy final with all those narrow roads and everything. To be honest, I personally think it would be much less stress if they would have taken the time at 10K to go or something, because then every GC team and everybody was now scared for that descent with the narrow roads, and that there were going to go gaps or that there were going to be crashes. And for that, it's sort of like a self-fulfilling prophecy, because there's so much stress, then of course there are crashes. But there is really no solution for the riders, for me. Because, of course, we take the risk, but if you don't take the risk, you are like in 150th position, so then you cannot contest the race. Sadly, when my job was done with 13 to go, I saw that Mark was involved with a crash. Luckily, he could stay upright, but I think his derailleur was broken, so we immediately knew it was going to be impossible to come back. A great finishing off by Alpecin. Nice victory for Tim Melier. I know him a little bit. I don't know him too well, but he's a really nice guy and quiet. And I think he's for sure one of the fastest in the world.
They come around the corner. They can't see the finish line. Crash behind. Yet another one. Sagan down. Ewan down. It's Menlier. It's another win for Alpecin Fenix on one of the most chaotic days.
Victor Campenaerts, Quebeca, next hash.
Yo. Today we had a clear plan to stay around Max and help him as good as possible to get a good sprint result. It was hectic. The final was riders everywhere on the road, crashes all over the place, but we were well positioned in front and we could avoid most of the crashes, but we still have three riders that went down: Sean, Nicholas, and Simon. Simon went down the hardest. It's not nice. Every team has his victims. Yeah. So my job was today to try to be in front and help out Max as good as possible, and try to create space to stay as safe as possible. We were happy Max was in the first group. Carlos and me got caught a little bit behind because of a crash. So we couldn't do our final job. And then Max, the guy in front of Max, lost the wheel with 1K to go. And then he had to do his sprint to make it back to the group. And he had a top 10 place. And in top 10 place in the Tour is I'm proud of that. Max expected more. But we can build on this, and we look forward for tomorrow to try and do the same thing and try to get an even better result. And Alpecin, that was impressive, 1-2. What can I say? I know Tim and I know Jasper, but not that well. I never raced one of them when I was an under 23 rider. Tim was more a cyclocross rider at that time. Tim is like the last year, or the last 2 years, he stepped up as one of the best sprinters of the world. I have to say, I didn't see the resume. I didn't see the final of the race back. But that's impressive. Those guys are having a nice tour already with yesterday Mathieu yellow jersey and now winning another stage. Chapeau. Tomorrow, let's try and protect Max as good as possible and get him as best as possible to the line. We want to smash it tomorrow and be presented as a team in front.
You've been listening to an episode of Kilometre Zero supported by Super Sapiens. Big thanks to them for supporting the cycling podcast. Thanks also to our audio diarists, Victor Campenaerts, Tim De Klerk, Connor Swift and Ben O'Connor. Thanks again to Eurosport GCN for the commentary clips that you heard in this episode. And finally, a big thanks to Hugh Owen, who produced this episode.